Hello and welcome to this breaking news episode of What Most People Think. Of course we have to do one today because yesterday was Rachel's big spending splurge. Oh, she was out. She was out. She was down at the Westfield, wasn't she? She had the credit card. She was flashing the cash. And there's so much going on just in that alone. But before that, there was big jobs news. There was news about the U-turn on winter fuel. And then even after today, as I'm recording this, it's 9:15. We've had economic news about the month of April, which isn't great. All I'll say is this. Things can only just get worse. We also is a good idea to do a breaking news this week because we had a guest episode, Ian Dale. And we did a lot of kind of retrospective chat about Margaret Thatcher, but that has provoked a lot of conversation with the patrons. So do listen to that one as well. But today is all about that new money, where it's being spent and what it's going to mean in the future. Well, I mean, tax rises, isn't it? Really? I mean, tax rises. There's going to be tax rises. That thing that they've pretended isn't going to happen. It's just going to be what they blame it on. So maybe, look, well, I'll do the analysis, but, you know, we could even speculate. The problem is, right, sorry, I'm getting into this earlier than I expected, is what they really want to do, especially because the contraction of GDP in April, 0.3%, was bigger than they expected. What they really want to do is say it's all Donald Trump's fault. But the thing is, they're so far up his arse, they can't even say that. Due to global turbulence. Did that global turbulence have like a shock of kind of strawberry blonde hair? Anyway, I've got a throat infection. So complete gear change there. In shocking news, it turns out being in several nightclubs with several thousand people is slightly exposing. And it always reminds me that throat infections, it's funny, isn't it? We think that we're sophisticated as human beings, right? And yet when you get ill, people indulge in the most kind of like old wives' tales, witch's brew type shit. You know, whether it's like eating chicken noodle soup when you've got a cold. My mum and my sister always used to say about throat infections, eat dry toast, right? Because the theory was that the kind of like abrasive nature of the dry toast would scratch the back of your throat and it would scratch the infection away. It feels like bullshit, but do email whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com if you think that there's any merit to that, or indeed you've got any of your own kind of inherited family remedies. I've also had back trouble for the last few weeks, been to the osteopath a couple of times, and I'm supposed to be playing in my son's parents versus sort of coaching staff game for his football team on Saturday. And my son, he humbly suggested to me that maybe I run the line instead. How sweet. Just like with a little pat on the shoulder. Hey, Dad, maybe you just, I don't know, cut up the halftime oranges. Patreons. Now, we don't have any new members this week, but those that have joined, you get to put a podcast early, ad-free, and with bonus content. And those who are board member levels, that's if you've independent. This is like a very clandestine thing. It's all like Freemason shit. But if you up your monthly pledge to £20 a month, right? You got your last book, you got Where Did I Go Right? And now I've taken delivery of The British Bloke Decoded. Okay, so if you are board member level, you just send me 10 words or less, an inscription, send me your address, and I will post that to you. I'll post it to you, all right? That's a board member privilege. Also, when I do the tour, you get meet and greet. So basically, you come to the venue, and instead of if you want to do photos or sign stuff, you can come straight to me during the interval. Like I say, sexual favors are, well, they could be negotiated, but they're not included in the headline price. Let's do the thank you and the fuck you. Speaking of the tour, just looking, 11,500 tickets sold this year. Okay, this year. So get in there, because what's happened is there's not loads of places have sold out yet, but there's a bunch. There's loads that are going to sell out soon, right? Otley, Maidenhead. Do you live in Milton Keynes? That's getting close. Pocklington, Swindon, the second date at London Leicester Square Theatre. So what I'm just trying to avoid here, this is what happens to all touring comedians, is that I tout it, and people say really hilarious, sarcastic things to me like, oh, Jeff, are you on tour, Jeff? I wasn't aware. Yeah, it's not like you mention it every fucking day. But then what happens is, right, I'll go and do a gig in Swindon, and I guarantee you 2 weeks later, people go, when are you coming to Swindon? Right? So that's why we do it. So go to Live Nation if you want to get your tickets. The fuck you is to Steph McGovern. Now, There's nothing against Steph McGovern. She seems very lovely. Everything I've heard about her is that she's lovely. It's more about an idea that she spoke about on Times Radio with Jane and Fee. She said they were talking about a radical plan for the economy. And she kind of knew that it might cause a bit of debate, to say the least. But she said that she'd ban all inheritance. She'd get rid of inheritance because of the kind of enshrined privilege that it creates in society. And it just... She's not the only person that thinks this, right? There are plenty of people on the left who think this. In the same way they think you should get rid of private schools, anything that basically confers an advantage, they think that you should get rid of it. And I suppose I try to be open-minded. Maybe it comes down to a view of human nature, right? Like they view human nature as a cooperative enterprise. I view it as a principally individual-first enterprise, you know, and cooperation can be a byproduct of that. But I do think it's weird. I do think it's weird that people think the government should just simply have the right to intervene on that level, you know. And the level of optimism of people that think that the government should have even more of our money, right? The optimism to think that given, you know, given the last sort of 20 years in Western democracies, that you think, I tell you, you would invest that well, the government. Yeah, I'll tell you, would invest that. Well, oh, no, do you not think that they just like it would increasingly become a situation where everybody has an equal amount of less? Nah. Give it to the government, mate. Politicians. I'm not like shitting on politicians as a concept. I just, look, as you get older, one of the things you realise is that it's not a very nice job to do. There's a lot of pressure. You can lose your job for things that you didn't do wrong. So therefore, it doesn't attract, you know, doesn't attract the very best thinkers, put it that way. It doesn't mean they're not good people, you know, and they don't have a sense of mission. So, but the idea to me that like all accumulated wealth should then be given to those people to spend, I'm not sure. And the other thing that I think that kind of thinking forgets, and it's the same with high tax, is how much you need to be motivated to go out and do shit. I remember when very first year when I was sort of self-employed as a stand-up and I tipped over into the higher rate tax bracket, I remember just thinking, oh, right, well, once I worked it out with national insurance and stuff, I was like, oh, after a certain point, what, like 50p in every pound goes to the government. I just was like, I think I'm going to work a bit less. So, you know, the idea that if you're not trying to create a legacy, I mean, Jesus Christ, if at this point I wasn't trying to create some sort of legacy for my son, me and my wife, we would downsize to fuck. I mean, I would bring all my obligation. I would live in a travelodge at Doncaster North. That is what I would do. That's what I'd do. So don't ever tell me that humans don't need motivation. Okay, let's get into it. Let's talk about Rachel's big spending splurge. Before we get into the splurge, we've just got to mop up. Did you see what I did there? It's pretty gross imagery, really. We've got to talk about the U-turn, right, on Winterfuel. It finally happened. It'd been trailed for a long time. The pressure was there for ages. A backbench rebellion was brewing. Labour had shit about it. The locals, even Reform had outflanked them on the left. And I'm not going to get into what I've said many times about how they've rolled out this policy and all the mistakes that they've made and the fact that they've actually created a situation where literally no one now will take on pensioners or any benefits that pensioners have, right? Let's forget all that. But let's just look at the framing of the U-turn. So what they've done is they've put it back to 35 grand is the threshold now. And that could be with two people in the same house. So a 70 grand income house, I wouldn't describe those people as on the breadline. You know, they're not absolutely crushing it, but I'd imagine that they're doing okay. And crucially, they haven't linked it to asset wealth, right? Because this has been done in a bit of a rush. So you could be on £34,999 a year and you could have shitloads of money in the bank and you still get your 200 quid or whatever it is, right? I don't think that... I just don't get it. It's one of the most illiterately handled things that I can remember. And I've lived through the last few years of the Conservative government. But the way that they framed the U-turn, they could have done this, right? They could have gone, look, it's obvious. It's obvious by the reaction, both of our traditional supporters and people who don't vote for us, that we've got this wrong. And we want to be a government that are willing to hold our hands up and say that. And hence we've revised it. Wouldn't that be refreshing? People go, what the fuck was that? An apology? You know? Sorry, you know, if you're in a marriage where one side doesn't apologise, I'm not saying what gender that typically is, okay? But when you do get an apology, you actually don't know what to do. It's like you then apologise. I'm sorry, I don't know how to handle this feeling. I remember I was on Question Time once and they asked me a question and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to say I don't know enough about this to comment, so I'm going to leave it to the experts. I got a round of applause, so I'm just saying a little bit of a mea culpa can go a long way. But oh no, this not this Labour Party, okay? Because they think they're smart. That's the main thing about this Labour Party. I can't tell you how smart they think they are, because they've gone, right, but what we're going to do is we're going to say that we've seen that we've fixed the foundations of the economy, and I'm pleased to announce that we're now in a position to reinstate. Oh, was this the plan? Was this the plan? Something that you got rid of in July and it's only just June, so 11 months. Was this the plan? Was it? Really? I mean, not a single political commentator is buying this as anything other than a crunching U-turn. Even people that are normally sympathetic to this government. And it's just, I just think it's patronising, man. It's quite offensive to the general public. It's offensive to journalists. I mean, imagine if you apologised like this. If you apologised in real life like this. Say your wife said, look, I've had a tough time recently. There's a girl's holiday. I'd love to go on it. And you said, look, we just don't have the money for you to go on that. We're not in a position to be spending on that, right? And then you really dug your heels in. You were like, she was like, I really want to go. I really need a break. And then after 11 months, you went, look, not because I was wrong initially, but because the economic situation has changed. And she's like, I can see the bank statements. Yeah, it hasn't changed. Because the economics, I'm willing to let you go for 4 out of the 5 days to Zante.
What most people think.
By the way, has anybody checked with Lucy Powell? Has there been a run on the pound yet? Because she said that they had to do that. You know, they had to do the winter fuel, otherwise there'd be a run on the pound. So, you know, keep an eye on the little guy in the top hat from Monopoly. There's also economic news going into this spending splurge, which is a reduction in the amount of people on payroll, right? So this is, I mean, like some unemployment, you know, people who are in training, people who are unfit to work. The number of people on payroll, I always think, is the absolute gold standard for assessing what's going on in the jobs market. And lo and behold, you know, with Labour's jobs tax, there's a lot of people that just aren't. People are leaving, they're not rehiring. People are now who are in work are having to work harder. They end up taking loads of sickies. It's normally a pretty bad cycle. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of impressive, really, because with the Labour Party, normally it's by the end of the time that they're in office that there's less people in work. But this Labour government, okay, there's a real sense of mission here. They're doing the big stuff early. Do the unpopular stuff early, i.e. help people lose their jobs. So we go into the spending splurge, right? And the money, as I understand it, was already allocated. And this is just, you know, money was allocated within Rachel Reeves' rules, by the way. Rachel's rules. that just sounds like one of those really boring kids' books for nerds. Within her rules, by the way, within her rules, by God. I'll tell you what, Rachel Reeves will hit a rule. This now becomes like a tongue twister. Rachel Reeves will hit a rule if she was the one that ruled it, right? If she sets her own rules, she'll hit that rule. Don't you worry about that. And before we get into substance of it, let's talk about her talking style. She's kind of got a staccato way of talking. There's something about Rachel Reeves, whenever she stands up, that every single thing sounds like a chastisement. She could say to you, happy birthday, dear, I got you a really lovely breakfast in bed. You go, fuck it, Jesus Christ. Sorry, but I'm sorry. I thought that you would enjoy a nice morning playing golf with your friends. You're like, what did I do? She's like, I'm trying to be nice. And there are a couple of gags in there. One ham-fisted one about Kemi Badenoch, which I didn't fully understand. And one at... Oh, by the way, Keir Starmer in Question Time, PMQs yesterday, mentioned Matt Ford's show. And I just kind of think, you know, look, the whole time the Tories were in office, right? Back when I didn't like say that they were great, but I at least admitted that I voted for them. Did one of those pricks mention me? No, you didn't. Okay. Anyway, I suspect it won't be an option going forward. So the joke about Kemi Badenoch is a bit shit. And then there's one about reform, which was an in-joke, as far as I can make out, about a pub in Westminster called The Two Chairmen, right? So they had Zia Yusuf, then he quit, then he came back, and now it's David Ball. And it kind of like, there's been a problem with Labour with jokes, which is kind of weird, isn't it? Because you think there's so many left-wing comics that support Labour. Could they not get some help? But in-jokes, there's not much point in those. It was a bit weird. Oh, fucking hell. By the way, before we move on, David Ball, I don't know if you've heard this, he appeared on GMB and said some of the most you know what, we're going, just if you've got like 2 minutes later, just get on social media, search David Ball, GMB, Derek Acora, strangling. Okay, and then thank me later. All right. And they also, in terms of messaging, Labour, they kept mentioning, talk about the party's opposite. So they didn't say, they used to say the party opposite, didn't they? And but now they're saying the party's opposite, because again, this Labour government right now is so focused on fighting the election. It's almost weird, right? It's still your first year, not even the end of your first year. But I think they do think that they're geniuses on messaging. They don't think that the last Tory government pulled themselves apart, you know, party gate, Liz Truss, Quasi, them betting on themselves in elections. They don't think any of that happened. They sort of think that we, you know, we got the messaging right. We went to the people with a pitch, and they said that we a clear mandate. They just look. It was almost there was no, apart from them saying they were going to have the fastest growth in the G7. More of which later, right? But there wasn't much of a pledge. So very little of that was them. And on the subject of taking on reform, one of the sort of big headline grabbers here is we're going to end asylum hotels. And I guess the fact that I'm now going to talk about it is why they said it. But they're going to end it by the end of the parliament. Where are they going to go? Don't matter. What are the hotels to where? Houses? What? Who's going to... Look, we're just going to end it. Okay? All right? It feels like if you're going to get the value of that headline, it feels like there needs to be some sort of semblance of a fucking plan. As to how that might happen, but oh no. And it just shows it's so weird. They are so spooked by reform that they are literally fighting the next election campaign right now. So in terms of what all this money is going to be spent on, the big winner is affordable homes, right? It's going to be a lot of building. $39 billion. Big win for Ange. Big Ange. There's only one Big Ange now. Now Postecoglou got sacked. Apologies if I'm ignorant here, and do email in and explain this to me like I'm a five-year-old, but I'm still unclear exactly how this works, right? Imagine it still costs the same to build a house, or do you just build a not-that-great house? I don't know. What's the prefabs? Is that what we're building? I don't know, because I'm fairly sure that construction companies aren't giving out goodwill discounts. But is it like they build the houses as they normally would, and then supply goes up, price comes down? You know, I suppose if we keep immigration at the level it is, that'll only be enough to have homes for the new arrivals. So it's hard to see how that would work. Or, and this is my fear, you know, do people end up with affordable homes, or construction shareholders end up with dividends? You know, it's interesting to see in the April GDP figures, the only real notable increases is in construction. That might be where all the money is. Jesus Christ, again, get a trade, lads. Get a trade, lads and lasses. But, you know, get a fucking trade. And there was more for defence as well. You know, learn how to build a gun. Learn how to, I don't know, file metal shavings off a bullet, because there's more for defence. And, oh, but, you know, it's still slow, much slower than NATO or Trump is asking. But I'll tell you something, by God, we will be ready. We will be ready. If Vladimir Putin comes, yeah, if you want some Putin, if you come, as long as you give us roughly 10 years notice, we're going to be ready for you, son.
What most people think.
Of course, there was more for the NHS. There's always more for the NHS. It's one of the great rules of British politics. It was interesting. I was on Storm Huntley's show yesterday, and we were debating about should there be more money for the NHS. And you get the callers in, right? And that does give you a reasonable gauge of, like, the popular opinion. And I was sort of expecting it to be a kind of procession of the usual, the NHS, it's the envy of the world, you know, one of those envies that no one else has tried to recreate. Not a single other country has done it exactly this way. That's how envious they are. They're so respectful of the NHS, they wouldn't even want to emulate it just because they wouldn't want to insult us. That's what it is. And everybody that rang in was cautious about the idea of just giving the NHS more money. It's interesting, right? There's a real sea change here. During COVID and after COVID, I mean, we've gone a long way, haven't we, from banging our pots and pans and applauding to kind of like demanding a fucking audit. Because that's the problem, isn't it, right? People have experiences, and I don't think it's possible for anyone in modern Britain to have a single experience with the NHS which doesn't result in you coming out the other side going, well, that could have been a bit smoother. There was absolutely no flab on that process. I mean, I saw that there was an NHS trust that have cutting 430 jobs. One trust cutting 430 jobs, right? And they said, well, you know, this can't obviously be at the expense of the patient experience. You think, how much of that is going on, you know? I mean, I thought for a long time, another thing is taking on the issue of people not turning up to outpatient appointments. The hospital near me, Bedford, right? One of the hospitals near me, is... is they have 60 outpatient appointments missed a day. And the problem is, if you ever try and take that on, people go, well, it's often the most vulnerable and the most confused and the most unable to put dates in a fucking iCalendar that can't make them. You go, all right, so this is another one of these situations in British politics where we have this problem that costs money, and if we addressed it, could make everything better. And yet we're never able to do anything because, you know, we're worried that there'll be a negative headline about cruelty in the Mirror. Police, they're going to get no more money from government, but the police can charge it through council tax, so they will have more spending power. Which is a nice little kind of fuck you from the government, isn't it? It's got, oh, you could definitely have more money. Well, we're not giving it to you. Shut up. Are you joking, mate? Oh, I need to build some fucking... I need to make some money for Taylor Wimpey. What you're going to do is you're going to charge it directly at council tax. Then all of the people that live where you live are going to be sort of furious. But it could lead, right? It could lead to council tax going up by 5% a year to the end of the parliament. And if that happens and they still won't come out to burglaries, I think people are going to get a little bit pissed off. I mean, like, there is that sense. I do wonder with the police whether or not there's been a period where, you know, as we've gone a bit more liberal and progressive, it's just... all right, I'm going to say it. Whenever I see footage of police doing a raid, I go, I feel like I could fight every single one of those people there. And I didn't used to feel like that when I was younger. And it's just on a simple level, I think the police, when it comes to, like, taking down someone, like, on the rampage, they've still got that capacity, right? But just on a general level, if you're a copper, right, anonymity assured, what most people think, UK@gmail.com. I'm sure that there's some of you out there still doing the weight training, you know, still staying in shape. It's not just about being out of shape. It's just general build, man. It's just general build. There was a video of, it must be so embarrassing for these coppers, but there was three female police officers and one male one, and they were trying to do a raid. And you know, like the battering ram they do, they just couldn't get the door open, basically. And the male one wasn't even helping. It's just fucking embarrassing. So here's where I would happily commit more money to my council tax to police, is if we guaranteed more police officers of 6 foot or more. And then there's expansion of free school meals. You know, you'd have to be quite a hard-hearted person that wasn't, you know, that was to dismiss that. I think it's now 500,000 people more, and it's any family on universal credit. I mean, there is that question of where the state continually stepping in. Now, the reason we're doing that is to ensure that more kids get a hot meal. Some people can't afford it, right? But another way of helping people afford giving their kids hot meals is to make sure that they have more money, maybe that they pay less tax. I don't know, but there's no space for the idea of cutting tax at the moment. It's all got to be the state, you know. They don't really want to make you feel richer. This is a problem when Labour are in government. They often want to make you feel like they're doing more for you. And these kind of things I'm always unsure about, right? It's kind of like, pay us more tax, we'll give you more stuff. It's like tax credits. I always remember tax credits. It kind of stepped in because, you know, Labour had a very, very stingy personal allowance for tax because they wanted the money to then step in and give you the tax credit money back. There you go. It's like charging rent but giving you pocket money. There you go. Who's your daddy? That's right. Don't ever forget. And all this spending, it might grow the economy, but the question is, who will feel richer? This is the point. I don't doubt that, look, they're putting money in. This is a splurge by recent comparison, you know. They talk about austerity, we're going to end austerity. It did end when Boris came in, but this is undoubtedly a rise in spending. Fine, who and some of this is necessary, but who will feel richer? You know, people might, their lives might be slicker, they might have better transport links, but so much of this is going into infrastructure building. I feel that the wealth will be concentrated around people in those sectors. And the end of the, you know, maybe Labour should be credited with taking quite a long-term view of stuff they might not end up getting credit for. But at the end of 5 years, people might feel just as skint, if not more so, as they do now. And then on top of that, we get this contraction in April. Now, you know, really, we used to only ever look at GDP figures as a quarter. But if you put that in concert with the reduction of people on payroll numbers, It doesn't look good, you know. It doesn't look good. And the point with this spending review is, under Rachel's rules, right? Rachel's rules, that she sets herself, and I will always meet my own rules that I set myself. The numbers make sense. Well, they made sense literally for the duration of yesterday. That was it, 24 hours. Probably the only time that those numbers will make sense. And this Labour government, they've sort of, you know, because they've sucked up to the OBR so much in order to cast as much light as possible on the Liz Truss debacle, is they just don't have any wiggle room, really. To do what they need to do, if the numbers go off course even a fraction, they're going to have to basically contradict so many of the things that they've carped on about for the sake of political messaging. And that's the main thing that comes out for me with Labour again and again, is that they've taken a lot of angles and positions to win short-term political arguments. It's weird. They're investing for long-term, but their political positions all are fairly booby-trapped in the short-term. So there you go. What do you think? Do contact whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. Were you pleased to see what was in the spending review? Or do you just want to... Or do you just want to just get something off your chest about Rachel Reeves' voice? Anyway, listen, thank you for listening to this. Do recommend this show. I think the simple, biggest way that podcasts grow is by people saying, oh, by the way, yeah, I listened to this one. It's by a Jeff Norcott guy. No, he's not a fascist. No, he's not a Nazi. No, it's not a character. The Twat off the Mash Report. Yes, that guy. But he has guests on from left to right. And he sort of tells you stuff about the news and he puts jokes in it. So if you could recommend that, that would be great. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And we'll be back early next week with another main show.